The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Luke chapter 5, beginning verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Thus far is the reading of God's word. I pray that you will receive it willingly and gladly, and may it be a rejoicing in your soul this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we can come together around your word to study it and to hear it explained. Lord, I pray that every single person watching this broadcast right now, Lord, would pray to receive your word gladly, and whatever applications need to be made, that they would willingly receive the application of your word. Oh Lord, this has been my prayer. And I pray today that you would visit us. Oh Holy Spirit, we are nothing without you. And so we invite you, we welcome you. Please work in our minds, press upon our consciences what we ought to do as a response to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice four actions that we observe here from this passage. Number one, we see that Jesus preaches outdoors. And number two, we see that Jesus tells Simon to catch fish in the middle of the day. And thirdly, we see Simon telling Jesus to depart from him for the reason that Jesus is holy and Simon is a sinful man. And fourthly, we see Jesus telling Simon to catch men instead. So number one, I want you to notice in verses 1 through 3 that Jesus preaches outdoors. Our God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Our state governor said Monday that houses of worship services should move outdoors. And here we are in Luke chapter 5, Jesus preaching outdoors. This last Wednesday night, we moved our service outdoors, and it was a great experience. And then tonight at 6 p.m., we are going to hold our service outdoors as well in the back parking lot. And so I pray that all of you, even those of you at home, I encourage you to come and be with us. And of course, I want to make sure to mention that if you don't come, we don't look down upon you for reasons of health and so on. And so we have moved our services outdoors, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday night at 6 p.m. It is nearly impossible to do it in the morning of Sunday because of the heat and risk of heat exhaustion and heat stroke and so on. So we are complying with our governor's mandate to move our services outdoors. In this passage, in verses 1 through 3, we see Jesus preaching outdoors. In the context here in chapter 4, and now we see this in chapter 5, we recall that Jesus had moved from an indoor setting in the synagogues. There were over 400 villages and towns in the region of Galilee, and Jesus was very busy doing that, going from one synagogue to another, and then he moved into the home setting. And particularly what's mentioned here in the concluding verses of chapter 4 is that he was in Simon Peter's home in Capernaum. And today we see Jesus moves out into the outdoors public setting. And what is Jesus doing? Well, he is preaching the Word of God. And the phrase here that I want you to focus in on is the phrase, the Word of God. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass that as a people pressed upon him to hear the what? The Word of God. There's a sense in here where this is a direct word that the people wanted to hear from God. And Jesus was doing exactly that. The directness of Jesus Christ. By not having to refer to Rabbi so-and-so, and Rabbi of old said this, Rabbi of yesteryears said this. And that was the typical teaching of the rabbis in Jesus' day. But Jesus was so direct, authoritative in his own way, that he would say, I say to you, and that was the Word of God. Well, what is the Word of God that he was preaching, that he is preaching? Well, it was the good news of the Messiah. I want to turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Just a page over. Luke 4, 18 and 19. This was what he is preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel to the poor. Now listen, let this be an example to you today. Let this be an example to today's preacher. And yes, I am talking to myself as well. I am preaching to the preacher of this church as well. Let this be an example to you, Pastor Christian. Don't become so entangled with the politics of this world that you forget you're a preacher first. You're not a constitutionalist first. You're not an American first. You are a preacher first. So preacher, you must be preaching the word of God. Jesus is Bible first. Look at verses 1 through 3 of our text, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. You see here that the people pressed upon him. They wanted to hear the word of God. This is a good thing, isn't it? This is a good thing. I wouldn't be discouraged if all of Riverside were to come to our outdoor service tonight and fill the parking lot with people to hear the word of God being preached. That would send so much excitement in my heart, I would have a cardiac arrest. The people are pressing in to hear the word of God. Oh, from the time that I preached here last year, the first time I preached here, I have endeavored to preach the word of God. And what a great setting, what a great spectacular thing to see the people pressing upon him to hear the word of God. And what does he preach? Look at chapter 4, verse 43. Just a couple of verses above where you're at right now. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule of God. The kingdom of God is the government of God. Now, you agree with me that our governments today leave a lot to be desired. They're supposed to be ministers of God to punish evil, but a lot of times they don't. They're supposed to be ministers of God to protect the good citizens, but a lot of times they don't. Our human governments are at best human, imperfect, flawed, in need of great improvement. But there is a government that is going to replace all of that, and that is the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus Christ is preaching. Now, the question we should be asking is this: how do we get into this kingdom? Well, the answer is very simple. Ye must be born again. Ye must have a new heart for this kingdom. Your spirit needs to be awakened to it. Otherwise, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the government of God if you don't have a new heart. You cannot enter the kingdom of God if you have a heart of stone. You have to have a heart of flesh, a new heart. You must repent and forsake your sins and follow Christ. Otherwise, you can't enter the government of God. And this is the preaching of Jesus Christ himself. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Just a couple books to the left of where you're at. Matthew chapter 4. What was Jesus preaching according to Matthew? Look at verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 4. From that time, what time was that? The time when he was kicked out of his home, of his own hometown in Nazareth. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say what? Repent, for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, that is, turn away from your sins, for the government of God is near at hand. This was what he was preaching. And so how do we get into the kingdom of God? Well, very simply, do you admit that you are poor in spirit? Look at chapter 5 of Matthew, 5 verse number 3. Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you admit that you're poor in spirit? Well, what in the world does that mean, Pastor Christian? Well, to be poor in the spirit is to be morally bankrupt. To be poor in the spirit is to be spiritually broke. You have nothing in you which can buy your way into the kingdom of God. You have no money. You have no cash. You have no credit at all whatsoever that will be able to get a ticket into the kingdom of God. Nothing. You are poor. You have to have the richness of the Spirit of God to be able to be admitted into the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who humbly admit that there is none righteous. No, not one. The poor in the spirit are those who humbly admit that there is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. The poor in the spirit are those who humbly admit that they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Do you admit that you are poor in spirit? And only then can you enter the kingdom of God. Suppose I had a bag of tokens for a theme park. I don't know if Disneyland takes tokens, but suppose that those tokens only work at Disneyland. As a matter of fact, one of the deacons of our church gave me a bag of tokens for Chuck E. Cheese. Suppose I had that with me. And I go to the airport and I say, you know what, ma'am? I want to go to paradise. The islands of paradise, Hawaii. And here's my money. A bag of tokens. What do you think the airline's going to say to me? You're nuts, Pastor Christian. There is no way that I will take the coins for you to be able to go to paradise. In the same sense that if there is no amount of monies that you can come up with for you to be able to buy the ticket to enter into the kingdom of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 64 in the Old Testament. The old prophet, faithful prophet, Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 6, or 64, I'm sorry. Isaiah 64, verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Ladies and gentlemen, the poor in spirit is one who will admit that, you know what, my tokens are nothing. My tokens of good works and all my righteousnesses are like filthy rags. I admit that. And that's the only way that you can buy the ticket into the new government of God, the kingdom of God. I am poor in spirit. How can I enter the kingdom of God then? You need to beg Jesus Christ for his riches. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Only Jesus has the money sufficient for you to enter the kingdom of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Through whom? Through your tokens? Through your tokens of good works? No, it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Only He has the money sufficient for you to enter the kingdom of God. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he did what? Yet for your sakes he became what? Poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can do that? And how did he do that, Pastor Christian? Well, he left his majestic mansions in the kingdom of God to visit us here on earth, where he sees a sea of humanity steeped in sin and loving sin and headed to a devil's hell. Because the wages of sin is death. As we find in the Apostle Paul's writing in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. And that is death in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, according to the Apostle John. Jesus says, I have good news for you. The Spirit of God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And you're so poor that you are broke and have no money to buy your way into heaven. You're so buried in debt that no amount of monies you can come up with for all of your lifetime, which can get you out of debt. None. None. You say, okay, I am not in debt. How about that? What do you say to that? Yes, you are, my friend. You owe your life to God. You owe him your allegiance. You owe him millions of apologies for the ways that you've treated your Maker. How have I done that? You ask. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever lied? What does that make you? Human being? No, it makes you a liar. Have you ever committed adultery? Well, no. Well, what did Jesus say about that? If you look and lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Have you ever always obeyed your parents? No, that makes you a rebel. Your sins are a debt that you have committed against the Almighty God, who gave you all those commandments, and you cannot pay your debt. It is impossible. But Jesus says, I have good news for you. I'll pay for your debt. For God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says, I will pay your debt, which is death and condemnation. I will die in your place, Jesus says. I will be condemned in your place, Jesus says. Do you believe this? Well, the fact of the matter is, after this preaching outdoors, a couple of years later, Jesus did die on the cross of Calvary. He did die for the ungodly. He did pay the debt of those who would believe in him. Do you believe this? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Just a few pages from where you're at right now. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, writing to the believers there in Colossians, telling them a high definition picture of what had happened to them when they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they put their trust in Christ, when they humbly admitted that they were poor and they needed the currency which Jesus Christ only he could offer and give to them. Look at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all debts, all trespasses. He has canceled your debts. And then verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. What is that? That's the invoice. The invoice of all your debts, ladies and gentlemen. What did he do to it? Which was contrary to us. And took it out of the way. And then he did what? Nailed it to the cross. Oh, what a great picture here of a cancellation of your debts. He gets your invoice. And there's a lot of them, right? For some of us, it's hundreds of pages. For some of us, it's hundreds of thousands of pages of debt. Hello. Nonetheless, they're all debt. And Christ puts it on the cross and nails it on the cross, blotting it all out, canceling all of that debt. That's good news. And if you admit that you are poor in spirit and you're broke, that there is no way for you to enter into the kingdom of God, all you have to do is beg Christ for money to enter into the kingdom of God. And he has all the riches there is. And only he has the riches which can enter you into the kingdom of God. The good news doesn't stop here. Jesus, who died on the cross to pay your debt, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose again from the grave on the third day. And how is that? By the power of his might as God the Son. And why did he rise again? Well, to prove that what he had paid was sufficient. And what he had paid was satisfactory. That's how Jesus came from riches into rags, so that you can rise from rags into riches. But you can't be rich unless you admit that you're broke in spirit. And only when you realize you're bankrupt can you be rich and therefore enter the richness of God's kingdom. And so the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, the preaching of the kingdom of God. We now move into the second action here. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. And what we see here is Jesus telling Simon to catch some fish. What is going on here? Have you ever had asked that question when you read this passage? You see a throng of people on the side of the lake. And Jesus had asked Simon if he could use his boat. This is a big boat which can fit 12, 15 people. It's not a canoe or anything like that. It's a big fishing boat. And it's thrust out a little bit into the water there, and so that he could use the acoustics of the water there to broadcast his message. And so the throng of people could hear him clearly. And when he was done preaching the kingdom of God to them, he turns to Simon and he says, launch out into the deep, a little farther from where we're at right now, and cast your net. And so that you can get some fish. I read this many times, right? And I'm asking myself, what's the connection here? Is there a connection here? The people are still listening to this conversation. I think Jesus was trying to give Simon an object lesson here. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. The whole time that Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God, about the government of God, I think the apostle Peter, well, he wasn't an apostle at this time, but Simon Peter the fisherman was thinking this: how in the world, Jesus, can you get people into the kingdom of God? And Jesus was making the argument that by my word, I will get people into the kingdom of God. That was what Jesus was doing. And now he's going to make an object lesson, an illustration of the power of the word of God, which is able to gather people and usher them into the kingdom of God. Jesus was about to give him an illustration of what that means, of what that looks like. And so you see the narrative here, Peter, the fisherman, Peter, Simon Peter, saying, I am an expert fisherman. We have toiled, John and James and I, my partners in the business, two boats. We toiled all night. Isn't that what the scripture says? We've done this year after year after year after year. We're experts in this. What you're supposed to do is in the cover of the night. But Jesus, it's like 10, 11, 12 o'clock in the middle of the day. This is very ironic. And yet, what did Peter say? Master, at thy word, I will let down the net. I can see a little bit of hesitancy here. I can see a little bit of doubt. But I think Simon Peter went back to his home in Capernaum, where this master, the very one who speaks to him right now, healed his mother-in-law. And so he says back to Jesus, okay, I will let down the net. Simon, let down the net. And what happens? They get out. Big catch. The biggest catch they've ever had in their experience as expert fishermen. This makes a very big impact in the life of Simon Peter. Have you ever gone fishing? The only extent of experience I've ever had with fishing is when I was a teenager in the Philippines. One of my aunts had a few fish farms, fish ponds really, where she managed for their livelihood. A couple of times they'd invite me to help in the harvesting. And you know, when they harvest fish ponds like that, what they would do is they would empty, right? They would empty the fish ponds empty of water, and so that the school of fishes would pull into a specific area, and so that they would bring their buckets in and catch the fish like that. And when that was done, they let out the cousins and I, and we would go jump into the mud with our fishing abilities and capabilities, our fishing nets and all of that, and we would catch tilapia, who really has no chance of getting away from us, and shrimp, lobsters, and crabs. I would fill my net almost immediately because of that. And it was a joyful experience. I had a lot of stabs from the scales and the fins of the tilapia in my hands, but nonetheless, I enjoyed that experience. And the Apostle Peter, well, again, he was a fisherman, and John and James, this made an impact in their lives. Wow! What a word is this that Jesus just said to launch out into the deep and let down the net. There are a lot of things that they had realized here. And we're going to talk about that tonight in our systematic theology, the attributes of God. And one here is His ability to know where the fish are and to command the fish to go where He needed them to go, so that Peter, when he lets down the net, would have a catch of fish. It made a big impact in his life, and which brings us to the third action here, which is Simon tells Jesus to depart in verses 8 and 9. Why in the world would he say such a thing? Depart from me, Jesus. Why? What kind of a strange response is this? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What happens to Simon? The good businessman manager that he is, something's changed. A normal business manager would have been wise and would capture this business merger opportunity. Jesus, rabbi, teacher, I know your trade was a carpenter. You're a good itinerant teacher, you know, but I got to tell you, can you do that again tomorrow? As a matter of fact, can you sign this contract making you a partner of our business? And we'll give you 50%. You know what? 75%. All you got to do is say, let down the net here and there and here and there. That's all you got to do. Sign this contract, Jesus. You are our partner. And yet he says to them, he says to Jesus, Simon says to Jesus, and in the earshot of the multitude of people there, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What is this telling us? This is telling us that Jesus is holy. That Jesus, what he said in his word was true. And that the way that he would usher people into the kingdom of God was by the preaching of the gospel of God. No gimmicks. No dramatics. No theatrics. But by the preaching of the word of God. And Peter, earlier in Matthew, he had been called by Jesus. But now this is a second call to him. Which brings us to number four, the fourth action in verses 10 and 11. Look at verses 10 and 11 of Luke chapter 5. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Notice what I'm trying to say here. Realize what I'm trying to say here. That now, Simon Peter understands that if he were to follow Jesus Christ, all he had to do was to preach the word of God, to usher people into the kingdom of God. Because of the experience that he had just seen, that this man, Jesus, who told the multitude that they were going to go into the kingdom of God by the sheer power of the word of God. And he demonstrated it to Peter that he was able to do that by giving him a draught of fish. that this man who said that he can usher people into the kingdom of God is worthy of following, is worthy of giving up his career to follow what Christ would have him do. A Bible commentator said this, quote, "To be caught by the Lord is on earth the greatest blessedness. After this, there is no greater than to be able to catch others for the Lord." Somebody else said, "The highest requirement of the evangelical function, that is, to evangelize people, to tell them of the good news, whoever is himself caught of Jesus must again catch others." Pastor Christian, how can we apply this in our life? Let me say this. Launch out into the deep. What does that mean? Launch out into the deep. This is what Jesus commanded Peter, is it not? This command is to you as well. What does it mean to me? Launch out into the deep. Well, it means this. Get out of your comfort zone and give the gospel to somebody. This is the application. Christian, do you realize that you have a vocation? Christian, do you realize that you have a great commission? You have a job to do for the kingdom of God. Launch out into the deep. Get out of your comfort zone to talk to somebody about the gospel. Well, what is your answer, Christian? Will you say, as Peter said, "Lord, at thy word, yes"? Or do you say, "No, Lord, I'm afraid that that person might give me coronavirus"? What is your answer? A brilliant author said this, Peter, an example for us. He heard when the Lord spoke, and then he labored when the Lord commanded, and he believed what the Lord promised, and he followed wherever the Lord called. Oh, Christian, that you would be like Simon Peter. Don't ignore what Jesus says to you. Launch out into the deep. We have CD sermons here that explain the gospel. Will you launch out into the deep and hand them out to the Instacart gal, to the Amazon truck driver, to the postman or postwoman, to your neighbor or to your family or to your loved one or to your coworker? Will you do that? How about you, friend, today? You who have yet to put your life in the hand of Jesus, will you humbly admit that you are a poor, that you are bankrupt spiritually? Will you humbly admit that you have no money at all to buy the ticket which would usher you into the kingdom of God? You are spiritually blind. You are spiritually bankrupt. Will you admit this? That you neither have the currency nor the ability to pay for your debts, your sin debts, which you have incurred since your birth, and even now have gained compound interest in that debt. You're buried in debt before God, your Maker. There's no way out of it except the riches of Jesus Christ alone. Will you humble yourself and beg Him? Will you repent and forsake your sin and follow Christ? That's the only way that you'll ever going to enter the kingdom of God. Humble yourself. Repent of your sins and forsake your sins and put your faith in the words of Jesus Christ, who is promising you eternal life in the kingdom to come.